We are back.
Message
Bernie's speaking now.
That Iowa has sent to the nation, the message shared by the American people, is that we want a government that represents all of us, not just wealthy campaign contributors and the 1%. Tonight, in this enormously consequential 2020 election, the first state in the country has voted, and today marks the beginning of the end for Donald Trump. The most dangerous president in modern American history. You know, no matter what our political views may be, the people of America understand we cannot continue to have a president who is a pathological liar, who is corrupt.
Ben can't hear us.
Who does not understand our Constitution and is trying to divide our people up.
That's why.
Based on the color of their skin, based on their religion, their sexual orientation, or where they were born. And all of that hatred, all of that divisiveness is going to end when together we are in the White House. We are going to win this election because the people of the United States are sick and tired of a massive level of income and wealth inequality. They don't want tax breaks for billionaires and cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The American people understand that if you work 40 hours a week, you should not live in poverty, and that we've got to raise that minimum wage to at least $15 an hour. The American people understand that health care is a human right, not a privilege. And that our administration is going to take on the greed and corruption of the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical industry. And whether they like it or not, we will pass a Medicare for All single pay program. The American people understand that in the year 2020, all of our people, regardless of income, are entitled to get a higher education. And that is why, together, we will make public colleges and universities tuition-free, and why we will cancel all student debt in America. And we're going to do that through a modest tax on Wall Street speculation.
This speech, obviously,
11 years ago, we bailed out the crooks on Wall Street.
Very heavy on policy ideas relative to what Biden offered and even Klobuchar. He is taking this opportunity to lay out his agenda to the American public. And
the American people understand that climate change is not a hoax, but is an existential threat to our country and the entire world. They understand that the time is now for us to take on the fossil fuel industry to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energies. And as President of the United States, because this is a global issue, not just an American issue, we are going to speak to the people in China and Russia and countries all over this world and say, maybe, just maybe, instead of spending $1.8 trillion a year on weapons of destruction designed to kill each other, maybe we should pool our resources and fight our common enemy, which is climate change. And the people of America know the time is long overdue for major reforms to a broken and racist criminal justice system. We're going to invest in our young people, in jobs and education, not more jails and incarceration. And the American people also understand that our immigration system is broken, and together we will pass comprehensive immigration reform and a path toward citizenship. And the American people know that gun safety legislation will be written by the American people, not the NRA. And the American people most certainly know that it is women who must control their own bodies, not politicians. So, brothers and sisters, yes, together we will defeat Donald Trump, but we're going to do more than that. Our message to Wall Street and the insurance companies and the drug companies and the fossil fuel industry and the military industrial complex and the prison industrial complex, our message to them is change is coming. Together with the strongest grassroots movement this country has ever seen, where we have knocked on hundreds of thousands of doors here in Iowa, we're doing it in New Hampshire. So let me conclude by thanking our great staff, our volunteers here in Iowa. And now it is on to New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, California.
Don't scream.
Onward to victory. Thank you all very much.
He was making a direct joke to that.
So close.
That was good, ladies and gentlemen.
And onward to victory.
For those people who don't know, in 2004, Howard Dean, Dean did not come in first like Bernie did, but Howard Dean finished his speech. We're going to go on to those states, and then let out a scream. And because of the way it was mic'd, it sounded like he had just completely gone bat crazy.
You have to
something. It's like that, and it was nuts. And Bernie made like that joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
That's the one that Chris Matthews is gonna basically interrupt Chris Matthews' attempt to say he won because socialists like meetings.
Right.
So, all right, look, let me just catch everybody up. Right now, it is 11:55 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the beginning of the podcast that we're going to be doing on Tuesday. And then in about 5 or 10 minutes, I've got to jump go to MSNBC and probably be the only voice that is going to be touting a major victory for Bernie Sanders on the network. I don't know if they'll let me on. They presume that they'd have the results by this point. The results may not come till one, but I hope hopefully these other people will fall asleep. And after we sign off, what we'll do is we're going to put on our interview that we did with Ryan Grimm. And I encourage all of you to listen. We took a bunch of calls in the last hour from people who were in caucuses in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And the stories ran from interesting to you got to be effing kidding me as to what is going on there. Now, as it stands right now at 11:55 p.m. Eastern, all the data is down. In so many different ways. Robbie Mook of the Clinton campaign manager, apparently.
Specter of Mook is haunting us.
Professional democracy disruptor.
Yeah.
They jump in. They get the contracts. This is what happens. You see this in business sometimes, too, frankly. But it's a little bit, you know, more difficult in this situation because, you know, part of the industry is a function of how we, you know, deflect blame. Right. I mean, that is like, you know,
it's like failing up professional white man syndrome.
And I will tell you that happens in all businesses. But there's a lot more room in places like entertainment, frankly, and politics where, you know, bottom lines are sort of like a little foggy and, you know, it's subjective, like. Mm-hmm. If everybody could say, like, who the winning candidate was going to be, we wouldn't need any of this.
Right.
Right?
And people take credit for campaigns that they jumped in at the end or vice versa. There's no way of measuring someone's abilities, essentially.
It's just like entertainment in that respect. Like, you know, we can't pick a winning TV show and et cetera, et cetera. All right. So we got Ben Dixon on the line. And I believe we also have Virgil Texas, who is, I believe, in... Bernie Sanders, are you at the party? Virgil.
Hi, Sam, yes. I am currently near the party. There is a bar in the Days Inn by the airport, where the Holiday Inn by the airport, where, you know, I thought, you know, it's going to be wild till we get these results. Maybe I could just have a few drinks. But, you know, right now I'm observing the press area, and it's, you know, very not popping off. I have to think that throughout the state of Iowa, I mean, everyone I've talked to, even people on the Bernie campaign and other reporters, everyone is doing the same thing that you're doing, which is refreshing Twitter, and everyone is.
We're taking calls from people who have sat through the caucuses in Iowa. Yeah. We probably have the greatest assemblage of results of anyone.
Right now, Sam's data is better than Robbie Mook's.
Here's the thing that happened, but the Bernie, this is kind of unfortunate. The Bernie app that they made to process caucus results, that also crashed.
Yeah.
So everybody's doing this by hand.
I guess that's out now.
Well, you know, this sounds like we're not going to have the results until tomorrow morning. And
well, I mean, everyone has a different answer on that. I mean, it might come out in an hour because, again, this is a black box. Nobody really knows what's going on. Maybe some reporters who may be a little more diligent than I am are capable of getting the scoop.
I mean, are you implying that?
It's probably not coming from me, Majority Report's roving correspondent.
Are you sure you want to? How about would this entice you?
But I will say this. I do want to say a few things. You know, we came from a caucus earlier, about 1,080 people in downtown Des Moines. And I'm told this is a district where a lot of, like, health executives live. And Pete won that. Bernie got second, and Warren got third. Pete and Bernie both walked out of there with six delegates, I believe. Throughout the state, and, you know, these are the reports that I've seen. These are the people I've spoken with. Throughout the state, every candidate, like, say, Warren or Biden or Pete, there are areas where they are below the 15% threshold to get delegates at that precinct, at that specific caucus. Bernie Sanders is the only candidate who has hit that threshold everywhere. And Iowa is a very diverse state, despite what people want to say. There, you know, it's a mixture of urban, rural, suburban. There's a large immigrant population here. There's a lot of just various, varied socioeconomic areas. and Bernie plays in all of these places, whereas someone like Warren, for instance, is really only playing in the city's college town, and someone like Biden is really only playing in rural areas. So that's why I'm very, very confident that Bernie has come out and won tonight, but he got robbed of the opportunity to make a victory speech. And I understand, honestly, I do understand the logic of the campaign just sending all their people out now, even Bernie, who would anticipate winning and want to give a victory speech, because it's getting late, and maybe they have some inside track information. Maybe that's a signal that they know the results aren't coming out tonight. If the results don't come out within the next hour or so, I mean, that's the deadline for, you know, being on the front page tomorrow. And I think the most humiliating thing is that imagine that the front page of, you know, the Des Moines Register, I know front pages don't matter that much anymore, but still they contribute to our physical environment, that every front page says, well, Des Moines caucus results in disarray.
Yeah.
They fucked up. I mean, that just looks bad.
We mooped it up again. And for people who are just tuning in, we should remind you that apparently the app that was being used to transmit the information was run by was developed by essentially the company of Robbie Mooks, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. I mean, the only thing I could say is, and this is something that I learned in college, better to get behind early so you have more time to make up. And so if there's better that we find this out now that there's a problem, and maybe that somebody can step in and resolve this thing. But this is just, wow.
Well, what I'm curious about is if they're doing this, if they're doing the numbers on their own now manually, do they even have, I know that the Bernie camp had their own app, but you know, aren't the people gone from the precincts? Like, how do you go back and recount those numbers? Where are the sheets of paper?
Well, here's the thing. There's nothing to recount because, again, it's a caucus. All of these caucuses are public. The Bernie campaign has, in every single precinct in the state, I'm guessing, they have someone there. They have a precinct captain.
Yeah, but they're not there anymore.
They're not there.
They gave their information to whomever they were going to give it to, and they sent it off. Now they're back at home calling into this show, frankly, and waiting to someone contact
them. I'll tell you this. You know, we just observed a caucus. Again, this was the one that Pete won. And what happens is, you know, at the location, and this seems like this will be the case statewide, not just for the one that we observed, at each location, like, they announce or at minimum tell the various precinct captains, the campaign employees, okay, here's how many raw votes you got before realignment. Here's how many you ended up with after realignment. Here's the math that shows you're allocated, you know, however many delegates. Now you've got to pick the delegates. So all of that information is you know, that's public. That's there. The campaigns all have it. You can't falsify
right.
That.
It's not going to be, it's not going to be, it's not going to be something that's going to be lost into the ether. I'm just talking about, they may not get that information tonight. Like, I don't know how they're going to go back.
That's what's baffling to me. That's what I really don't understand, because I mean, I'm looking at the news right now, and, you know, apparently the Iowa Democratic Party has said there were inconsistencies with the results. That could mean a lot of things. I do just want to say this again. I want to reiterate this point that Bernie got screwed here because he has won the Iowa caucus. He will come out of this a winner. All of the publicly available results that news organizations have announced, that precinct captains have announced, they add up, and cumulatively, Bernie has won. We don't know margin. We don't know his strengths in which demographics, which places. We don't know how many, you know, state DNC delegates. We don't know how many state level delegates, whatever. We know that he won. And the fact that he was in any other Iowa caucus, and I'm sure you've never seen anything like this, and I'm sure nobody else on the line has seen anything like this, any other Iowa caucus, you know, they don't announce it all at once. They announce it as it goes on. Of course, there are irregularities, there's inconsistencies, there's, you know, there's finger pointing after each one. Yeah. But no matter what, like, there's results. Okay, how about that? There's
they
results.
Exist.
They're not
they
locking
exist,
it away.
And they can
in,
be tracked down.
In Al Gore's lockbox, you get that reference. And they put out the results, and we're watching the rolling results come in, and we're robbed of that beautiful shared experience of watching the results that of seeing Steve Kornacki kind of like tell you, you know, here's why this matters. Like, we're robbed.
Sam's taking over.
And as well, Bernie Sanders, who I'm quite confident, having put a lot of money on this, that he will, that he has won the Iowa caucus, and the fact that this will not be reported until tomorrow, that it screws up, I mean, it's two things. One, he's supposed to get a bounce right if the media's going to talk about it. Well, guess what? He's talking about freaking Trump getting acquitted and the freaking State of the Union address tomorrow. So, like, it gets buried.
He's right.
Virgil.
He also lost the opportunity to make a speech.
I agree with
you. A victory speech, which... I remember Obama's victory speech at the Iowa caucus in 2008. That was a huge moment, and a lot of people remember that speech because that was the speech that made it clear to everyone that it is real, it's for real, we'll have a black president. And this could have been the speech that made it clear to everyone that we would have the first socialist president, the first Jewish president.
Okay, listen, we should talk on Wednesday. I've got to jump. Appreciate it. I've been heard. Now it's being reported. Thanks, man. It's being reported that Nina Turner... Nina Turner says that Bernie will come back out if results are announced tonight. And I there is no doubt in my mind, as much I think as what Virgil is saying is true, that, you know, Sanders did not get that bump and it's a crap show. When Virgil says, you know, it's like something I'm sure you've never seen before, Sam, I still have a lot of refrigerator magnet pictures of ballots being counted in West Palm Beach. I can tell you what is stunning is just that we as a country have not figured out how to have a goddamn vote in this country. It is it's a shit show. And, you know, the funny thing about this, and we got to sign off here, and Ben Dixon, Nomi Konst, Nomi Key. I can't do it this time. But listen, this story about Robbie Mook could not be more perfect of a reason. When we talk about corruption,
that's right.
When they talk about Joe Biden's son getting a job just because of his last name, this is what people are talking about. Yep. They are talking about the complete falsity, the fiction that we live in a meritocracy.
That's right.
And it's quite possible that a meritocracy is not possible, that you cannot really achieve some type of metric where everybody can be judged against and everybody gets doled out what they deserve in this context. And that is very much what the Bernie Sanders campaign is premised on, that this meritocracy that we have is a sham. It is corrupt in the sense that, you know, the idea that Robbie Mook is in charge of this has nothing to do with ability or past success or relationship
or technological expertise. That alone.
None of it. It is clearly a function of the relationships he's built and a wink that everybody else has. Like, I'm not going to say anything. If you don't say anything, here's the payout. Boom. There could be no better argument for why we need what Bernie Sanders is suggesting than what we saw tonight.
But there's no oversight.
There's no oversight.
More egregious, in my opinion.
All right. So, folks, here's the deal. We're going to be back tomorrow night for the State of the Union. We'll start early. We'll recap all this stuff. I am going to hop on YouTube live through the night, as I'm going to be up and I'm probably going to be sitting at MSNBC just like, oh no, you're not going to get on because Brian's waiting for the results to come in. And so we're not going to give up the seat. But I will jump on. I'll jump on in the morning because I got to do the AM. No, I don't. That's Lucy. Okay. I'm going to jump on in the morning after I take solid school. We'll figure it out. Nomiki, thank you so much for your time tonight. Ben Dixon, thank you so much. Hey. The Benjamin Dixon Show.
This is developing, but Robbie Mook is denying having anything to do with the app now.
Whoa.
Some other people are saying, well,
somebody deleting the tweet or what's going on that he had?
We'll see. Well, that tweet was from old. We'll probably litigate this over the next few days.
Matt, great job tonight. Brendan, great job tonight. Very stressful situations. Folks, thank you so much for coming back onto the stream after we signed off. We had 17,000. Now we're signing off with 14,000. Really appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll be doing this a lot more. There's a lot more to come. and subscribe to the show. Go subscribe to Ben's channel. Go subscribe to the Nomiki show.
Yes.
Nomiki
we
show.
We just became partners, right? Is that what that's the term?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just become partnershived.
Yes.
Partnersized. So go subscribe to those shows, both the Patreon accounts and their YouTube channels. And we will see you tomorrow and maybe later on this channel. Thanks so much, folks, for being with us.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Choice is made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive.
On the phone, who and I believe is in Iowa right now, is what's it? Ryan Grimm? Are you there?
Ryan Grimm.
Ryan? Wait.
Hello?
Hello? The wrong person. Hold on 1 second. Who are you?
Hello?
Hello? We'll get back to you in a second. Sorry. Wrong one. Here we go. I don't know how that happened. We were adding so many people so quickly that the thing is moving, and I'm trying to... There we go. I think I got it. Ryan Grimm, are you there?
I'm there.
Ryan, Nomiki Konst is here.
Hi.
Nomiki Konst and Ben Dixon on the phone. And we're taking calls from folks in Iowa, who are actual Iowans who have participated in the caucus. Did you watch one?
Yeah, I watched two.
And actually, what did you observe?
The first one I watched was at Drake University, and so there were a lot of students, and so it wasn't a surprise that Bernie annihilated everybody there and Warren was the only other viable person. But the one I just came from now was quite fascinating because it's a kind of black working class neighborhood in Des Moines that went 5-3 for Hillary Clinton in 2016. And this time Bernie Sanders blew it out.
Woo.
He didn't just win a plurality, had a majority. And the Warren people had to kind of beg and plead with the Buttigieg people who were not viable to link up with them.
Wait,
and they
what?
Just barely
Pete wasn't viable in a black community?
That's shocking. Hold on for a second. Wait a second.
It was strange. It was strange.
We got a breaking news.
Nobody had heard of them.
Oh, I love
them. That's fascinating because...
He's still introducing himself.
We have heard from four different folks who are in the caucuses. Des Moines, three places in Des Moines and one in Dubuque. For the most part, three of those places were a little bit more moneyed, as it were. In the more moneyed version, Warren and Pete 2, Amy, Bernie, and Biden 1. In Dubuque, it went Pete, Biden, Bernie, Warren not viable. On the south side of Des Moines, not a particularly wealthy area, Bernie 2, Buttigieg 1, and Warren 1. But the story about that was almost 75% of the people at the beginning were for Bernie. Mm. And there was some horse trading that you know, sort of like mitigated that win. The Biden people apparently were handing out their delegates to the other candidates. Yep. To make sure that they got viable.
Right. Yeah.
But it feels like it's so early. It feels like the story is Biden is bombing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, he's totally bombing. And not only is he bombing what you said, like this one right here. So like this was like Hillary, like I said, Hillary Clinton country in 2016, like this is what he says is his base of support. And he walked out of here with 25% in a working class black precinct. That's brutal when he's been claiming this like overwhelming support among the black community.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for
black voters. Sam, let me just say this. Black voters, if nothing else, we're pragmatic, right? I think Biden's fatal flaw is that he assumed that we just were going to go with him. Mm. But the fact that the only reason people went with him initially is because they thought he was electable. And the more we saw that he was unelectable, the more his support from the black community wavered. So I think that's a phenomenon that he's not expecting, but I think that's one that we, who are on the progressive side, we've been counting on that.
Well, I mean, I think...
And he also didn't do any work here, and several people said that to me, that not only did he not show up here, but he doesn't have any volunteers either who showed up in his community.
Wow.
Whereas Bernie Sanders did, and that meant a lot. And that means a lot, particularly to Iowans, you know, who are very precious about the attention that they want every 4 years for having this first caucus. And so, you know, this one pastor who was walking in, so who are you supporting? Is it Bernie Sanders? So why? Yeah. He said, well, he showed up.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody else did.
Brian, let me get a sort of a maybe a 30,000-foot view. Now, we have spoken on this program today to at least two experts who have said similar things, that the actual delegate count is less relevant here because of the sheer numbers are just not that much than the sort of like spin that comes out of here and the sort of almost like the pole position, if you were, coming out of here in terms of, and then, mm-hmm. and then a sort of like a more granular view on where people won as a, you know, a data point in terms of where else they can win down the road. What's your sense of the Iowa caucus, broadly speaking?
Well, as to what's going to happen, I can't really tell you because I've been very like focused on this particular precinct the last couple hours, 2 hours. But I think you're right that everybody's going to probably be, you know, bunched somewhat together unless Bernie just completely blows it out. And the delegate counts are going to be close. Like, yeah. You know, as you're seeing, people are walking out of these caucuses with, you know, one delegate for two delegates for this person, two for that. You know, nobody's really, you know, going to be running away with it in that sense. But they're going to be releasing the vote numbers. And so I think you're going to see Bernie touting that if he can show
that first,
you know,
round
I won
of voting
by
50, numbers,
000 votes or something. Right.
I have a question.
And that's new.
So Ryan, this is Nomi. Right now, looking at, and granted, it's still pretty early, Bernie is taking the first round. He's very close, neck to neck with Buttigieg in the second round. If Bernie consistently, you know, stays around, you know, that number, he's safe, right? If he gets the first round and close enough in the second round,
he should be yeah,
as the winner.
It depends on.
And Warren is above that 15% too. So, you know, you end up having Pete Warren and Sanders.
Right.
Yeah.
And the key thing to remember too, there are more non-rich districts than there are rich precincts. Yeah. So even if, as you hear stories about the rich precincts where Bernie's getting clobbered, you know, if we had more rich precincts, then we wouldn't have Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think anyone is doing some, the precinct captains maybe doing some bad calculus in this realignment? Because I see in the realignment, Pete surges beyond Bernie Sanders, right? But in the long run, I don't think that Pete is an actual threat to Bernie Sanders. Of course, this could be his night in Iowa. There'll be a great narrative. But sending those delegates over to Pete may not have been the best calculus to stop Bernie Sanders in the long run. What do you think?
Right. I think what's really important to understand is that these folks are not. Oh, hold on one second. It's Holiday Inn. they're not listening to a precinct captain. They're not an organized army.
Okay.
They're people who are showing up and deciding to support. A lot of them in the moment say Buttigieg or Biden or Warren, and then they're getting lobbied by everybody.
So it's a free for all,
support them. It's a complete free for all. There's no, you can
you could write articles that urge people to do a certain thing, and that could penetrate the consciousness of people as they make those decisions. But there's nobody who's organized well enough that they're saying, okay, we're all going to march, you know, our marching orders from Warren are to go support this person next, or our marching orders from Biden are to support X. It's more, people are just making individual decisions.
Because I'm going to be honest with you guys. With you all, I would much rather out of this, if there was a first and second situation where Bernie didn't come in first, I think Pete would be the one that I would prefer, because in the long run, I just don't get that feeling that Pete Buttigieg is going to be the existential threat to Sanders.
But all right, let me ask you this, Ryan. Wouldn't you say that because socialists like meetings, that they are going to have the advantage?
Well, don't consultants like meetings, because then they can bill like a bunch of different classes.
That's true.
At the same
there you
time.
Go.
All right. Well, we're gonna have you debate Chris Matthews on that point. let me ask you a question. What is quality control or accuracy check? We're starting to see this now on MSNBC. Yeah, here we go. And here's a story from CNBC Now developing. Iowa State Democratic spokesperson tells NBC News that it's putting caucus data through quality control procedures out of an abundance of caution and currently has no timetable for when any results would be released. Now, does that mean that they're going to release it after New Hampshire just to make sure that they know what the results are?
Right. Yeah. So first they bury the poll.
Yeah.
Right.
And then results, then they'll bury the New Hampshire results.
Amy.
Yeah, the thing is a mess when it comes to quality control. Like that is a fact. Like, but having any kind of confidence that the numbers were precise was difficult. And so what they would do is they would say to the Bernie group, for okay, we counted. They thought they had 71. Now, they were sure they had 71. They counted 69 Bernie supporters in this caucus. And then finally, they're like, you know what? Fine. We'll take 69. It's fine. And then they said, like, any objection to the number 69 being the number for the Bernie Sanders campaign? And everybody's like, fine, we'll do it. And so nobody, like, objected to it. So, boom, the number 69. And then Biden was, 35?
Oh, man.
And then they're like, does anybody here object to the number 35? Because, like, they're going around and just counting people. 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5. Bernie, they did a...
This is new.
Many people, they did a conga line, and they could have kept the conga line just going.
What?
Forever. Like, 1,022, 1,023.
You mean they go around in a circle?
Yes. It's insane.
How come they have not come up? In all the years that they've done this, like, everybody gets a ticket. Here's a red coupon ticket that
Carnival. They were giving out tickets this time. This was the first time they've ever done tickets. That didn't seem to help.
Oh, my gosh.
People were, like, walking out with a ticket.
Listen,
it was a mess.
Ryan, you know this. The fight over just getting an accurate count when the Bernie people and the Hillary people were reforming everything, it was like we were trying to eliminate the Supreme Court just to get an accurate count of how many people showed up at a caucus. So of course they don't have a system to do it.
I'm interested in the whole getting rid of the Supreme Court.
It would have been close, it'd been a mess.
So all right. So now what you're covering this for The Intercept is my understanding that you've been working at for quite some time now. And
I'm taking over Jeremy's podcast.
Oh, is that right?
Oh.
No.
Oh, really?
Is
Congratulations.
It?
Just for this week.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, so where are you going for the rest of the night? You've gone to two caucuses. Where are you going to go to, like, headquarters?
Yeah, so it's over now. So we're going to the Bernie Victory Party, which is, they all call them victory parties.
Right.
It's aspirational, and it's at the Holiday Inn by the airport.
Of course. And are you getting on a plane first thing in the morning or tonight or something and heading to New Hampshire?
Tomorrow. Flying to New Hampshire tomorrow.
Hmm. And so at this juncture, like, do these candidates and these campaigns have a fixed strategy, or is it dynamic enough that they can that they would respond to these results? In other words, if they say, like, hey, we seem to have a real problem in the suburbs, and we thought we would, we would destroy there.
Yeah, right.
Or, I mean, do they have that level of flexibility, or is it just like, oh, we better turn this thing to 11 because we're in trouble?
For the Sanders campaign, if they come out like they're expected to, then they'll just, you know, hit the gas and keep going. But everybody else is going to be mixing it up. You know, the Biden camp at the beginning was like, we're going to lose the first three, and that's our plan. People were like, I don't know if you can actually lose the first. I'm not sure about that. So they're like, okay, we'll win. And now, lately they've been saying, well, maybe we won't win. Biden is going to be facing a huge money crunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He probably owes more money to consultants now than he has cash on hand. And nobody's going to want to give to him if he does as poorly as it looks like he's going to do tonight.
Right.
And then Bloomberg is going to try to swoop in and take his spot. Buttigieg is going to try to claim that he's still a viable candidate. And, you know, Warren, we'll see what she comes up with. But most of them will probably
wait
hang
a second
for New Hampshire because they've hired so much staff there. They've spent so much time.
Wait a second. You didn't even say the name Klobuchar. Dude, don't you know that she's surging?
There were three Klobuchar people.
I'm going to make a prediction right now.
The earlier one.
I'm going to make a prediction right now that if we had the ability to assess how many times Klobuchar's name is said over the next 48 hours on MSNBC and on CNN, it will close to rival the rest of the candidates in total.
Her platform was just on. Did you see that?
No.
An empty podium was on. No other candidates on MSNBC had an empty podium on.
This is going to be spun.
This is amazing.
As a Klobuchar victory.
Klobuchar momentum.
How is she doing? Momentum.
I think she's going to come in fourth. Nice. I think there's a possibility that Biden
fourth.
Actually
strong fourth.
Look. She's right coming she's from did. Eighth yeah. to fourth. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty. Do you know that ants are also the strongest things alive? I mean, relative to their own body weight. Like this is, we're in the realm now of like what my 6-year-old son says that he thinks is clever. Like, I'm going to fake you out. And ants are the strongest things alive. That's what we're going to get with Klobuchar. Like, she, nobody went like doubled their predicted totals from 1 to 2%. Exactly.
We just drove past a car that instead of the pizza delivery magnet on top of the roof, it had a magnet that said Bernie beats Trump.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great.
Who drops out tonight? Who drops? Does anybody drop out after tonight?
Deval Patrick.
I don't know. Does Steyer hang in? What about Michael Bennett?
Steyer's definitely hanging in. Steyer's hanging into South Carolina. He's poured too much money into South Carolina.
Right,
that's true.
Good point. He had some support at this caucus, not anywhere near viable, but there were some people.
Let me ask you.
Michael, you've got Michael Bennett. You've got Deval Patrick. You've got all these people that are still in it that people don't know are still in it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Steyer in South Carolina, it is starting to look like the latest poll out of South Carolina, we don't have that many polls, is showing that Sanders is only 5 points behind Biden. I don't know, because I, to be honest with you, I haven't seen that many polls out of South Carolina. But are we looking at Sanders eating into Biden's lead, or are we looking at Steyer eating into Biden's lead? And if that's the case, Do you think is he this year's Fred Thompson?
I think a little of both. I'd be curious for Ben's sake. I think he's eating into a little bit of both, but more Biden than Bernie, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just from some context I have in South Carolina, the ground game for Steyer, particularly in the Black community. See, that I think it is Steyer chipping away at Biden because of how much he's pouring into the Black community of South Carolina. Like, he's poured millions upon millions of dollars just in that target alone. And because
hiring a lot of canvassers.
Oh yeah, canvassers. He's hiring people from Rainbow Push Coalition, the NAACP. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's hiring the people who have the relationships, and so that matters beyond anything else. It's, I mean, the canvassers, obviously people do want to be touched and have their door knocked on, but those pre-existing relationships, Tom Steyer had the money to go ahead and buy them in the black community.
Well, let me ask you this though, Ryan.
Although Bloomberg might try to, well, I guess he doesn't care about South Carolina. It'd be funny if he tried to outbid. He did that to some Biden people here at Bloomberg. Doubled the salary of some Biden people.
We heard that, actually. I had a caller the other day who said that she had a friend who was a director down in southeast Iowa, and they were working for Biden, and then they took a job with Bloomberg in Michigan for $6,000 a month or something, which was, you know, like three times or twice as what. But let me ask you this. Let me explain for people who don't know. Fred Thompson, in 2008, stayed in the race because his buddy John McCain was worried about what was happening in South Carolina. I can't remember who he was going against, but I think like Pat Roberts maybe might have been in it. There was a lot of like challenging and Fred Thompson stayed in the race. He was an actor and a former senator, and I think he became senator again. He was on I think it was Law and Order or SVU or some one of those things.
Yep.
And he stayed in the race essentially to sop up some of those opponents, those more southerny types, Huckabee maybe, to soak up some of their support so that McCain would be closer to the middle of the pack in South Carolina. And I wonder at one point, you know, Tom Steyer has been very cloying lately, and I think he must have a sense like he's not going to win this. He wants to win California. Mm-hmm. I, you know, if I'm Tom Steyer, I go to somebody like that I think is going to win California and say, hey, I'm thinking of running for the Senate. What are the chances you give me an endorsement?
Right.
And you scratch my back, I scratch your back.
Somebody like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan, you're in D.C. Aren't you supposed to know the inside skinny on this? What are the people saying at all those fancy parties you go to?
Bernie Sanders is, can you imagine like Steyer sitting down and pitching a deal? It's like so non-Bernie Sanders,
exactly.
But at the same time, Steyer would like see the logic of it. There's nobody better on climate change after Steyer than Bernie. And Bernie never ran a coal company or whatever Steyer did. It makes sense.
It'd be interesting. All
Brian,
right.
I
go ahead.
I want to ask Ryan a quick question. Just at a 30,000-foot level, what would you say the difference between Steyer as a billionaire? He's clearly not even being in consideration for the salvation of the Democratic establishment as compared to Michael Bloomberg. What would you say the big difference is in why the establishment is looking towards Bloomberg versus Tom Steyer?
I think it's actually the amount of budget. Mm-hmm. I think if Steyer would have come out and said, I'm going to spend every penny that it takes and started hiring every single high-level Democratic operative at three times what they're used to making, those high-level Democratic operatives would be telling their friends that Tom Steyer's for real. Steyer has spent a lot of money, but he concentrated it all in the early states, which – you know, all of except for New Hampshire, they all have pretty. I don't know about Nevada, but they're pretty cheap states. It's not expensive to like run ads in South Carolina and Iowa. I just think it's money. Bloomberg's talking about $2 billion, and Steyer's talking about tens of millions. And certainly, Bloomberg's closer to their politics, but it's not about the politics. I think it's about the dollar bills at the end.
And Bloomberg had that ecosystem in place. I mean, he is a product of New York politics. He had, a group of Howard Wolfson, right? Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
A Clintonian guy. I mean, they travel in tribes. So if he starts with this base of loyalists that can kind of build out like the DLC types that he had on his staff, I mean, expand that outward. And he had a real strategy. I don't know if Steyer ever really had a strategy
operation.
To win. Yeah. I mean, I knew a couple of people who were on board with him advising him a year and a half ago, but I'm pretty sure that they're off the Steyer train. They were taking checks in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I just looked it up. I mean, I guess the answer is in the numbers. Steyer is only worth 1.6 compared to Bloomberg's 54. Yeah. So, yeah, that makes it clear. Yeah.
He's a peasant.
So, Ryan, let me ask you this. If Biden becomes non-viable after this, right? I mean, if everybody's just sort of like, forget it. And I feel like that Biden, I used the example of those old Three Stooges thing where they, you know, they beat up the guy and then he's still standing and they just go over and blow on him and he falls over. I sort of feel like I feel like that's where we're at with Biden, and that, you know, everyone was just waiting for a data point that would show this. And I imagine if there's a South Carolina poll in the next week and Biden comes in fourth or fifth to Klobuchar.
Or even tied.
Yeah, I mean, yes, tied for fourth or, like, you know, anywhere but, you know, two or three, I think, in any meaningful way, I think he's in big trouble. Where do you think that sort of, like, where that support goes? Not from the voters as much as, like, sort of, like, who are those people who have been still sort of, like, Biden, you know, we need Biden. Where do they go?
Well, that's when you start to have the chaotic, assault that they tried against Trump. Just throwing everything they've got against the wall. And, you know, some, they won't be unified, I don't think. Some of them will go behind Klobuchar.
I think that's true.
Might even go to Warren. Some of them might go to Pete. Some of them will say, well, let's just see if Bloomberg can do this. Some would say, you know what? Let Bernie try. Like, there's no, if there was a backup plan that was as strong or stronger than Biden, it would be running right now.
Right.
That's right.
Somebody will probably call Michelle Obama.
I was going to say,
tell them no again.
Man.
I think you're all missing the obvious. Oprah.
Oprah, of course. Yeah. Hell. That's my second choice.
Yeah,
John Kerry. I mean,
John Kerry.
He's already given
the Bank of America board.
He's already given him a heads up. They're right now scrambling to see if they can find somebody to sit on that board.
Howard Dean. Perfect compromise candidate.
Or Howard Dean could just jump on that board. And I think the only thing that he would have to do is see if he could actually windsurf and pick up the slack for Kerry on Nantucket.
Not much older than Bernie.
There you go. John Kerry's younger than all of them.
That doesn't solve the problem.
Is he really?
Apparently. Yeah. Jeez. Anything, are we missing anything, Ryan?
It's their fault for not getting behind somebody like Cory Booker.
That's fair.
Julian Castro more than Cory Booker. Cory Booker just had a problem with, he was just too corny. I just have to say it like that. He was corny. And Julian Castro had a little bit more, je ne sais quoi. We could call it that.
Yeah, but Corey was part of that system. He worked his way.
But you know, it's interesting. It seems like a couple of them got tripped up because of where they started. Like, Booker started on the progressive side. I think he felt he tried.
In the presidential race or in his career?
In the presidential race.
Okay, yeah.
And I think Harris did too. And then they sort of realized, like, wait a second, this lane does not seem to have any room for us.
Right.
And then they got lost. Yeah. They got basically stuck.
Well, same thing with Castro. I mean, these are all people who are products of the establishment, by the establishment, fueled by the establishment, run by the establishment. Suddenly you're going to go, how far left do you go? That the lines are not clear. I mean, we don't even know between Bernie and Warren. It's not even clear where those lines are.
We're not getting any. We should tell you folks that we're not getting really any information out from Iowa because they're doing accuracy checks.
I have some news.
Yeah, the caucus app seems to be.
That's
yeah.
You're on it. We're on the same page here.
What's going on?
The app, the Iowa caucus voting app, which was already problematic, stirs security concerns. Wall Street Journal reports that the app that caucus leaders are using to report Iowa results isn't working. Nobody knows who owns the app. And there were major concerns. Yeah.
Banana Republic.
This is they're
going
to eliminate caucuses because of this. You know, guys, this was all the writing on the wall. These are all their talking points as to why caucuses.
Right. Meanwhile, we'll get the same problem with the voting machines, though, with this.
Exactly. Right. Right.
Paper ballots. Can Bernie just do a week where he doesn't campaign on anything but just paper ballots?
He's like old school. Yeah. Turn your phones off. Check them at the door.
Shouldn't be that hard.
Wow. All right. Well, Ryan, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I have a feeling we're
Ryan,
not gonna...
when does your episode come out on the podcast? When does that come out?
We're aiming for the morning.
Oh,
it's gonna be a small night.
Dude, awesome. Tell me about it. Who, now, what do you
good.
Do? Where are your tech people? Are they napping right now?
No, here we go. On our way to the Bernie thing, do a few interviews and then finish the sucker up.
All right. Well, good luck with it.
Although it'd be nice to have a result.
That might make it more palatable. But believe me, we got the same problem on this end. I don't know what we're going to do for tomorrow because we got to come back and do the State of the Union, and you know. I'm not sure exactly what we're gonna do for the podcast, but I guess we're gonna find out. All right, Ryan, appreciate the call.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, man. All right, let's see if we can find some more people on the phone who are calling from Iowa, so we can finally get some real results. So far, I think we have probably more results than any other show.
Yeah,
we do. I mean, we have results from four different, and now with Ryan, five.
I got one from Precinct 36. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Precinct who's this? 36, is someone you know
Des
Moines. In there?
No, this is Twitter, but it's a photo.
Okay.
Just come on. I'll cite it.
It worked. Twitter. It worked.
I scan Twitter and I choose the right kinds of people. So Des Moines Precinct 36, Sanders at 76, Biden 37, Warren at 23, Pete at 8, which is, or no, 0. First round was 8, second round was 0. So... you know, not bad for Bernie.
If you guys can help me scan the calls to see how we're doing for... Here we go. I got one right here. Number 8. Calling from a 515 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Sam. This is Zach.
Zach, and where in Iowa are you calling from, Zach?
Actually, I am not too far from those other two guys in Des Moines. I'm in
what's going on? Beaverdale. Why are we so heavily concentrated with Des Moines people?
I have a feeling it's because this area is very blue.
Okay.
It's the rest of the state that is pretty red.
All right, Beaverdale.
But,
right?
Okay. I'm in Precinct 15, and it's poor reporting on my part. I wasn't expecting to call in. I left after the first round. But Warren had the most, Buttigieg, Sanders, and I think they did say there was a fourth viable. I didn't hear, but definitely Biden was out. Klobuchar was close, so she might have gotten some people in the second round, but like I said, I didn't hang around. So.
Wow, this is interesting. I mean, because now give me a sense of Beaverdale. Is that a wealthier area, not particularly wealthy.
It's middle class. I think it's a bit of a mix of both. You do have areas where it is obviously wealthy and others a little less, but I would say it's all middle class.
Okay. Fair enough. Interesting. And that is supposed to be a Joe Biden, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's Joe Biden.
Yeah, and in fact, that's you guys had a clip of Biden holding the lapel of that guy.
Yes.
Who told him to vote for someone else. Actually, I know him. And, yeah.
Small world.
I'm going to guess that he actually did vote for somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. He used to be a Iowa State Representative, actually.
Oh, wow.
That's probably not the guy you want to grab by the lapel. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Calling from a 319 area code. You are calling from, let's see if I'm not mistaken, the southeast part of the state, maybe in the center. Is that right? 319?
Southeast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. All right.
How are you figuring
this
out? Someone's feeding this to you.
A little bit of work. I mean, southeast, you were talking about, let's see. Just give me one second here because I'm just trying to refresh my memory. You're in the Quad City area, aren't you?
Yes.
All right, okay. And what's it looking like down there? Hello? 319?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody else.
Nope. That's it. What do you got?
So ours was kind of crazy. We had four delegates went to Biden. I'm sorry, Bernie. Four went to Pete.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Say that again. Yeah. Four went to Bernie. Okay. Four went to Pete.
So, and then Amy Klobuchar was at first non-viable, but after there was quite a bit of weird events that went down. We had a guy from Hawaii that was there to represent Yang, and he had this big helmet, and he delivered a pretty fiery speech. But then during the first count, he yelled at his two delegates, his two supporters, hey, come over to the Biden group. They've got an offer for you. And somehow they worked it out. They made Biden viable and got him three delegates along with Klobuchar. And so that was kind of distressing. But it was not a total loss for Bernie. But
what was the offer?
Wait, so how many did Klobuchar end up with?
Three.
So four for Bernie, four for Pete, and three for Klobuchar. Now, I got to tell you that my understanding is that that area is a pretty blue-collar area. Is that right?
It is, yes. A lot of factories, a lot of big employers like Deere, farm equipment, you name it. There's huge, huge center of factory work.
And that is supposedly Biden territory, right? That's like the Erie and La Crosse, well, Wisconsin. It's not Scranton.
Better. The lady that was there to give the speech for Biden, she might have actually been older than Biden, definitely a little more senile. She came down from New York just to come and speak at our tiny little, we had 81 people show up. I just couldn't believe it. She was almost incomprehensible, but I guess that's how it worked. I didn't realize that people could come in, staffers, paid staffers could come in and deliver our speeches. But it was something else.
Wow.
The speech is just not caucusing.
Well, appreciate the phone call and the update. Thank you. We are,
thanks for all you do.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. This is pretty good. We're getting,
we have our own results so we can check how good the quality control goes.
Yeah, Kornacki's watching us on his big board now.
Right. let's go. What else? What? Give me another number here. We got startup seven. Let's see.
Oh, man.
We got, wait a second. Here we go. This is a call from a 563 area code. If I'm not mistaken, that is the northeastern part of the state. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. This is Alex.
Alex, and you're up in that Jackson, Jones, Winnesiac, Fayette, and Clinton County area, aren't you?
Dubuque County.
Or Dubuque.
Oops.
Dubuque, yep. So we caucused District 20. Sanders had three delegates. Warren had two. Biden, two. Klobuchar, two. And Buttigieg, two.
All right, so Sanders, Sanders, how many? Three, did you say?
Three, correct.
And then Warren, Biden.
Warren, two.
Yeah.
Biden, two. Yep. Klobuchar had two, and Buttigieg had two. There were a few Yang supporters. I thought it was interesting. All the Yang supporters went to either Warren or Buttigieg.
Hmm.
We didn't get any come to Sanders. And then there were three for Steyer, and they all went to Biden.
Oh, interesting.
And it was pretty close. So there was 11 total delegates allowed for our district, and at the end the math equaled 12, so they had to take one away from Biden, and they're pretty angry about it. Me and my wife stayed and watched. They were all sitting around a little card table. counting them out, and there was almost like a shouting match going on between Biden and a few of the other representatives. Kind of a mess.
Why did they take it away? I don't understand that part.
So basically, Biden had gotten like 2.5 according to the math. So since if they have a 0.5, it's the one who's over 0.5 who's closest to 0.5, they get theirs taken away.
Okay.
So they had given them a boost to 3, but since they had given them the largest boost, they took their delegate back down to only 2. So they had 64 total, and Sanders had 68 total. Yeah, it's kind of weird. So, and Klobuchar actually had a pretty big showing, but there's a Catholic sister, like a nun place just down the road, and there were about 35 sisters who showed up.
Convent?
All for Klobuchar.
So whoa.
It was pretty much her whole show. Yeah.
A convent for Klobuchar. Who knew?
Yep.
Wow.
Basically.
Doesn't figure.
All right. Well, appreciate the call. Thanks, man.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's keep going here. We got a lot of people, I think, calling in from Iowa who have been at these, go to 9, calling from a 712 area code. That is in Western Iowa. We haven't heard much from that area. Who's this? Where are you calling from? 712?
Hello?
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 Hello? Hello, calling from a 712. You're on the air.
Okay. So I'm not in Western Iowa.
All right, where are you?
So I'm in Des Moines now, actually downtown Des Moines.
Okay.
I was precinct 55. And the delegates went 5 for Bernie, 5 for Pete, and 4 for Warren. Then I have friends that are also downtown, but they were in a different precinct.
Yeah, what precinct?
And they have the same results.
What precinct?
I don't know what number, but they're downtown.
Okay. Wow. Well, I mean, I think the thing that is really coming out. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for holding and letting us know. Anything, what was the first round voting looking like?
The first round, so I could tell right off the bat that Yang, Biden, and Klobuchar, they had a sizable group, but they weren't viable. And Buttigieg was barely viable by 1. That's what I heard. But after the second realignment, or the first realignment, whatever, he got a lot of people going to him. So
interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising. I was honestly pretty shocked. He ended up with like 240 some votes or people. Yeah, so yeah. And then Bernie had like 220. Warren had 180. So yeah, and then my friends that were in the other precinct downtown, they had like 220 Bernie, 180 Pete, and then they had like 150 Warren or something like that. If I recall correctly, that's what they told me.
All right. Well, appreciate the info. Thanks for the call. You know,
Thank you, Mark.
I will say this, guys, the thing that really seems to be coming across now is that I think we're going to see Bernie, obviously, I mean, it appears, I mean, but who knows, is going to win. I don't think he's going to win by an overwhelming margin. I think it's going to be bunched up. But the thing that is, I think, like, if what we're hearing is any indication, and of course, it's a very small sample size, right? But there's a couple of places where supposedly Biden was supposed to do well.
Yeah.
And when we've heard from those places, he has not.
Right.
And according to, you know, what Ryan Grimm tells us, if Biden didn't do well in either one of those places in the, you know, one of the most black districts in Iowa and also in the sort of like La Crosse, Wisconsin-like districts, he's not going to do well.
Yeah.
And we certainly hasn't done well in the moneyed areas that have called us. Biden wasn't
even... He's not doing well anywhere.
He's not doing well anywhere.
Right.
And so I think, like, you know, the story coming out of this is going to be Biden is toast. And I don't think it's...
I think we have to make sure that's the story,
that's right.
Sam, because they're going to try their best to spin this if Bernie doesn't win by as much as we think he should, or as much as the media is going to set the high bar for.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have to do our part to make sure that everyone focuses on the fact that the front runner for the Democratic establishment was not viable from the beginning, mm-hmm. but certainly after the results of Iowa.
Yep, I think that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, the bottom line is... these second choices, right? I mean, they are their second choices. And maybe people will retreat to those in places like New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But Biden hasn't been that much of a factor in New Hampshire anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not necessarily going to be a lot of movement except for two.
Right.
I mean, presumably, you know, like it's what the dynamic that's in New Hampshire is going to stay the dynamic in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. except for Biden will probably drop a little bit.
Right.
And to the extent that he has any support there, maybe it'll go to those second choicers again. Mm-hmm. But when they get down to South Carolina now,
yeah,
right, and Nevada, mm-hmm. that's when all of a sudden you're going to start to see some separation. Because I got news for you. Pete Buttigieg is not the second choice in South Carolina.
Or Nevada.
Or Nevada.
Or Texas, even. I mean, as you start to get to Super Tuesday, you know, Buttigieg does not have a Super Tuesday pathway. And that's where the numbers are going to come in very clear. And that's where you're going to look at Warren, who has invested in states like Texas. We were laughing about it last week, but, you know, she has been doing better in the last week. And she might very well come looking, I mean, it's very, very early right now, but she might come in at second. I still think she's going to be second. And I think Pete is going to be very close behind her at this point, looking at the numbers. Yep. And at this point, looking at the numbers, I don't think Bernie is going to be where he needs to be the clear front runner to take this and run with it.
After tonight.
After tonight. I think that's true.
But I think that getting Biden out of the picture opens up a lot of running ground. Yes. Because
Without a doubt, look
at all the national polls. Look at the early state polls. Mm-hmm. Head to head, it has been consistently the one consistent thing. It's been Biden and Bernie who can beat Trump consistently in those polls.
Right.
Now, you can choose to believe those polls or not believe those polls, and you can look into the battleground states, and it's a similar dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were looking for a data point,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But even if Biden's in the race, and maybe Ben, you can, because you know you have a better sense of the later states, probably. When you see where Biden's going to draw, he's not going to get out of the race. So where will the support that he loses? Because he's not going to lose all of it, but of the support that he loses, where is that going to go? I don't know if it's going to go to Bernie.
Well, I think a good portion of it's going to go to Bernie, because you'll be surprised, right? There's the vast majority of the voters who support Joe Biden. They don't support him because they believe in any of his policies or anything that he stands for. They believe in him because they think that he can win. But once that narrative is dispensed with, which tonight really kind of dispels that notion, the next viable person is clearly, to most people, think about it. Who else? Right. It's Bernie Sanders with the possibility of Elizabeth Warren. I think after tonight, Elizabeth Warren is really going to emerge as the actual threat against Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren, and then with the possibility of Bloomberg, I think he's going to come in pretty strong with his money. But in terms of the race in general, I don't think Amy Klobuchar is really going to she's going to get a narrative out of tonight. But that's it. She's not going to really get voters out of tonight. Mm-hmm. Bernie is going to get voters out of tonight. Certainly, Biden is going to lose voters out of tonight. And I think it's really the tale is going to be told on the 29th when we hit South Carolina.
All right, let's go. We still have some Iowa or a lot of Iowa callers on the line. Which one am I going to first? 17. Calling from a 412 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Sean from Iowa.
Sean from Iowa, where you are calling from the? Where are you calling?
That's a work phone. That's a work phone. It'll lead you to Pennsylvania, but I live in Iowa for sure.
Okay, and
so I'm in Eastern Iowa.
All right. And where'd you caucus?
Yeah, I'm in eastern Iowa. I was caucusing tonight outside Cedar Rapids a little bit, kind of working class area, a little bit more affluent. And first alignment, Bernie didn't make it. I was a precinct captain for Bernie.
Wow.
Okay.
So that was a bummer. Wasn't viable. So the campaign asked us to stick around to make sure that if there are any rules changes or anything like that, that we at least had a voice. So most of us did. Some of us realigned with Elizabeth Warren, and I was kind of marshaling people. And when they did, the Amy Klobuchar, Biden, Pete Buttigieg group kind of realigned. It looked like it was going to be Klobuchar and Buttigieg. Hmm. And then we went over to Warren, so it ended up being Warren and Pete, which was unfortunate. But the good news is that no one knew the rules, and everybody left. And then I was the only one who was able to explain what happens next, including the person coordinating the event or the caucus. And now I am a delegate. So while Bernie didn't have viability, the people there, because I knew what I was doing, voted me to be the delegate, even though Bernie didn't win. And now I can go and vote for whomever I want because the people there sent me to go.
Excellent,
wow.
Man.
So
wow.
Wow.
I don't know.
Amazing.
I don't know if CNN can capture that.
Democracy is beautiful. It really is beautiful to see democracy in action. So what's the delegate count? We have one rogue delegate.
One for.
All right. So good. One.
Pete, and then.
Wait. I'm sorry. Say again.
Technically, one for Pete. And technically one for Warren, but we're not quite sure whether I took the Pete slot or the Warren slot.
Oh my God.
But I took a slot.
That's amazing.
So just in case the UN wanted to monitor something, you could probably come out to Eastern Iowa next in 4 years.
I changed my mind about caucuses, guys.
But,
holy jeez.
Yep. So come the county convention, I get to go and sit in one of those seats, and I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to kind of go and show up. And when they seat me, we'll see.
Sam, you have a scoop and a half on your show tonight.
Yes,
that's
you
amazing.
Do. Wow.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe, you know, what the podcast is tomorrow is the last, you know, is this last hour that we've been doing. And we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll try and tag something on it, you know, put an extra one in the feed. That's an amazing story and one that I find, you know, both exhilarating and deeply disturbing. But that
yeah,
is
for sure.
Wow. All right. Well, it goes to show you folks, you know, particularly in caucuses, pays to do your homework, I guess, in a way that probably is.
How do we believe you? The audience thinks there's quite a few people in the audience who think you're trolling us. How do we believe what you're saying here, guy?
I just tweeted all four of you saying I had a good story. You want me to tweet my precinct badge?
Oh, no, I'll
ID.
No, you don't do all that. I'll
well, yeah, tweet
missing.
Your precinct
okay.
badge ID.
Yes, please do.
Okay. I'll tweet it to you all right now. Give me a couple minutes to go find it. Oh, it's right here. I'll tweet it to you. You want me to do it live on the air so we can get some good air time?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do this.
Make some good TV. Just do it.
All right. This is going to be pretty.
What's your Twitter handle?
Crazy.
Hold on. Second.
You're not gonna want me to spell. You're not gonna want me to spell it.
Wow.
At majority for it at BF1NN at Nomiki.
Nomiki.
No, he had it right.
Oh,
you
shoot.
Don't.
You may have to sit in for me,
yeah,
bud.
Yeah, him.
But that. How else would you pronounce it though? I'm confused. How else would you pronounce Nomiki?
Nomiki. It's no me. Wow. It's really simple, guys. Can you say no me? Key.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else
right.
has it.
No me key?
No,
do you speak other languages?
Yeah. It's just the emphasis on the
joy and Nick okay. What?
Hold on.
Just while we're doing while we're pausing.
Hold on.
I'm speaking to somebody who very important authority on background. But not going to disclose who it is. At this point, in 2016, they had 75% of the data in.
Wow.
And they are not even close to that now. Wow. It's not even near. Yeah.
Hey, folks, I got some bad news for you. We're not going to have results tonight.
But you've got to leave, right?
Well, we got
to
leave.
I just tweeted it to you.
All right, thanks. I mean, I have a feeling they're not going to let me on to talk about the results. I mean, that would be pretty awesome, but I doubt that that's likely to happen. Will you?
Got his badge. I see it. All right, you've been verified.
Wow, there it is.
You see
folks.
It, D?
Yep.
All right, we will. Let's.
Oh, Derek, I follow you already. Okay, cool.
No, I'm not Derek. I'm Sean.
Nope. Sean.
Oh, one person. Okay, hang on. Let me keep searching.
No.
I like your Bernie beats Trump.
Here it is. Wait. Got it right here.
And there it is.
Precinct captain.
Big fan, Sam. Thanks for being a little North Star last few years. Everyone, appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
And
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Good work.
Hey, and as an Iowan, can I just say that Illinois has more closely matches the demographic makeup of the Democratic Party, and probably could run a better election than we are right now.
Mm, wow.
So,
like Cook
if anybody
County?
Wanted to support that.
Oh, you're saying?
Oh no. Well,
you're suggesting
them.
You're suggesting maybe the first primary should be in Illinois.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a better makeup of the demographic makeup of the Democratic Party and of the country. Because
Sean?
in of the 92 people voting, there tonight, caucusing tonight, I think there were five people of color.
Wow. Well, Sean,
wow.
You're an American hero, as far as I'm concerned, and I appreciate the call.
I appreciate that coming from
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Wow.
Yeah, have a good night. Bye.
That's quite a story.
What was his Twitter handle? Because my mentions are a mess. Sean at what?
It's C-S-A-E-R-A-E-N-Y.
That's something. That's quite a story that I did not anticipate hearing tonight.
Breaking news for you, man.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see. I'm going to go just down to take the next person from Iowa. We got a couple of 319s on the line. Call from a 319 area code. Folks, if you're not from Iowa, we're probably not going to get to you tonight. I mean, with all due respect, we've got a bunch of people on the phone from Iowa, and Iowa's where it's at. You're calling from a 319 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello? You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, okay. This is Casey. I'm calling from out of Springville, Iowa. It's kind of a suburb of Cedar Rapids.
Okay. Another one from outside of Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
What's happening, Casey?
Interesting. we got three delegates. First was Klobuchar, and second was Buttigieg, and then one for Sanders.
Oh, my God. What? Yes. What?
One for Sanders. Now, tell me about what demographically about Springville.
White, very white, well-to-do, evangelical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Biden wasn't viable. Warren wasn't viable. So the Warren people went over, and they all went over to Klobuchar. They didn't even have a place for her, and just all these people showed
There
up.
Seems to be a lot of that, right? Warren and Klobuchar working together. That seems to be a big...
Whether intentionally or not.
Right. I mean, who knows whether that was sort of like a strategic thing, or just sort of that's where people's tastes run when they go to their number two.
If you guys had to guess a Clinton official that helped develop this app or was integral to it, which official would you guess? That was part of
Philippe Raines.
Nope.
I'm just kidding. I know he doesn't.
Robbie Mook. Robbie Mook.
Oh my God.
Robbie Mook.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Well, that was what happened when Bill.
Appreciate
Clinton
the call.
Said,
Thank you so much for calling and hanging on the line to let us know what's happening in Springville. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Bye bye. Right. Have a good night.
So Sam, I'm on the Des Moines Register, and they have Bernie Sanders at 27.8% and Pete now at 23.9% after the realignment. Still only 34 out of 1,765 precincts reporting, but this is the first time I've seen Bernie Sanders being in the lead.
Now, I'll tell you here, something is interesting. We talk about how much the Democratic establishment does not want Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. This new rule to release the numbers and to count the numbers of the first vote before the realignment, I have very little doubt now, is going to be very favorable to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I also have an equal amount of doubt that there's going to be a very concerted effort to say, well, that number's not relevant. You know, I mean, I will bet you anything that I own that the first thing, like, you know, that half the shows on MSNBC, they're not even going to mention that number.
Of course not. And, right? And most people don't even realize it. They don't understand the significance of that in relation to 2016.
Right. But I mean, in 2016, you didn't have that number that much,
right? We didn't have the number. This happened during the Energy Reform Commission. You had and to be fair, on the commission, even though we were outnumbered, the Iowa people who were appointed by Hillary and Perez were actually on our side of the reforms. They were very easy to work with, the people who are pro-caucus. But this was the big issue, was because people were being pushed away at the doors. You had people stuffed in a room in 2016. They had no sense of how many people were in the room, who was being counted for. It's chaos now. It was a different type of chaos then. And so you didn't have those numbers now. And of course you have it. That might be all the data we have to work from at this point.
Those first numbers as they walk through the door, first vote might be the only one that we have, because why would we have that and not the second? Because the calculations are trickier at that point, or
I don't know. I mean, the precinct captain.
You still
should be
a big caucus?
No, I'm not. Can we call back the precinct captain guy and ask him if he was trained in the second and how to tally?
Well, let's see if we got another caucus captain online. We have over 50 people. Here we go. Here we go. All right, here we go.
These websites
are calling from a 515 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Sam. This is Hannah Laura from Southeast Iowa.
Hannah Laura, how are you? Good to hear from you again.
Great. Yeah. So there were 451 people at my precinct.
Wait, will you tell us again where your precinct is?
I'm sorry, say again.
What is your precinct again?
We're precinct 2 in Jefferson County.
Okay.
It's actually the town where Marianne had her headquarters.
Oh, okay.
And I was knocking doors over the weekend. Knocked 71 doors, but one of them had the Marianne tour bus in the driveway.
Oh.
No one was home. But okay. So at our, I can report our precinct, and I know one other in town what they got too. So on the first round, the only people that were viable were Bernie and Warren, and all the other ones weren't even close. There were zero people in the room for Tulsi. There were six people for Bloomberg, which is kind of high for around here. But so the crazy thing that happened. So the Yang people, let's see. Okay. So the Yang, Tom, Klobuchar, and Pete people pretty much all went together in one group, and they pulled a name out of a hat.
Oh, my God.
Wow. How many people? You tell me again how many people were at this caucus?
451.
Okay.
451. Yeah. Do you want to hear the original numbers on the first round?
Yeah. What was the first round?
Okay, so we needed 68 for viability. Klobuchar got 32. Tom Steyer got 22. Pete got 28. Bloomberg had 6. Yang had 37. Biden had 41. Warren had 86. Tulsi had 0. Bernie had, I think, 190 the first round.
Okay.
So we blew everybody out of the water, but... So it ended up with the final count, Bernie at 218, Warren at 112, Klobuchar at 58. So the delegates were 6 for Bernie, 3 for Warren, and 2 for Klobuchar, thanks to
To be clear, the Klobuchar vote was literally a lottery.
They pulled a name out of a hat.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I don't know what the Biden group ended up doing. I'm sorry?
I said, but the New York Times thought she was the choice. This person who has a path to victory and a real strategy.
Well, maybe they pulled a name out of a hat.
That would be
she didn't even have... Yeah, she didn't even have the most of those four. Yang had the most at 37 on the first round. Yeah. Klobuchar had 32. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Then Pete was in third place there, but yeah, they took over. Not, go ahead.
Being on the ground, is there field? Klobuchar field? She has jumped to a 14% pre-poll, you know, as of a week ago. Is there an operation on the ground, or is this just completely like
yeah.
Yeah.
She's had a ground game here for not very long, and it's not very big.
Okay.
I would say, I mean, Warren's, you know, I was still getting like texts and phone calls today from Warren people. So they've had a really strong game the whole time. Yeah.
Well, that's Hannah-Laura. That's amazing, and appreciate you, you know, calling in and letting us know what's happening. I mean, that's
wow.
Picked a name out of a hat. We're hearing every story there is. This is like,
yep, it's a wild.
I don't know if anybody saw that documentary, Frederick Wiseman's Meat. But you don't want to watch that if you eat meat, and if you want to stop eating meat, I would suggest watch that documentary. That's sort of like, I feel like the process we're going through. We're looking at sort of stuff that we don't want to necessarily know what's going on.
Right.
Hannah-Laura, thank you so
can
much.
Can I say one?
Yeah, please.
Can I say one more thing? So, I haven't been listening all day, but it seemed like from the talk this morning, like there was, one clarification in the rule change that I wanted to make. I wasn't sure.
You got to be quick because we got Amy. Okay. Will you hold on for 1 second?
So,
do you want to hear Amy Klobuchar speak? We're going to listen to her because she is on a surge.
Okay.
We are now ready to head to New Hampshire. And my friends here in Iowa, you know we have beaten the odds every step of the way. We have done it on the merits. We have done it with ideas. And
we've done it with the hats.
With hard work. Because, thank you. We know in our hearts that in a democracy, it is not about the loudest voice or the biggest bank account. It is about the best idea, and it is about the person that can turn those ideas into action.
We're number four. We're number four.
Win big by trying to outdivide the divider in chief. We
Boom.
Know that we win by bringing people with us instead of shutting them out. Yeah. Donald Trump's worst nightmare
oh, yeah.
is that the people
it's Amy
in
with
the
a
middle,
stapler.
The people who have had enough of the name calling and the mudslinging have a candidate to vote for in November. Donald Trump's worst nightmare is that our fired up Democrats will march to victory alongside a big coalition of independents and moderate Republicans.
Okay. I mean, if you want to hear more of Klobuchar, you can watch the screen. We'll keep that up in a corner. All right. So you can see the thing. I think she's definitely going to be able to parlay this into maybe a fourth place finish in New Hampshire, maybe fifth place finish in New Hampshire. And that's going to be pretty impressive.
Will there be five people left?
Local parallel for Amy Klobuchar.
Hannah-Laura, just say one more thing about the rules.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the big changes that when I was door knocking, I found a lot of people didn't understand. So, you know, there's the two rounds of voting, you know, by a head count, although this year they actually had paper for the first time. But you used to be able to, after your first, vote, anybody could switch to anywhere. But this time mm-hmm. the rules changed so that if you are viable, you're locked in there. So, I mean, it kind of we're letting people know that, you know, if you really want Bernie, don't go to Yang first, because if he's viable, you won't be able to
right,
move.
Right. Interesting. So, all right.
My mistake.
Okay.
Interesting.
Thanks
for the
call. You guys too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Why was that your mistake? Did you push for that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I had the old, I was talking about the old rules. I wasn't on the caucus committee.
Calling from a 319 area code. 319.
Hey, is it me?
Yep.
Oh, hi. This is Kara from Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Hi,
and,
Kara. Cedar Falls. Where did you caucus?
It's Ward 5, Precinct 2.
Okay.
Cedar Falls, we have 15 precincts.
And tell me a little bit about that precinct. Is it wealthy? Is
well,
it not wealthy?
Area,
is it blue collar?
Our city, it's a little bit of everything in our city.
my area is, I'd say, pretty middle class. Not much lower than that, but not a lot higher either. Just kind of, you know.
Okay.
Fairly well to do. You can't live here if you're not don't have a little money because our housing is a little high, but.
Fair enough.
It's a university town, so there's different areas. I know the areas down by the university were going really heavy, Bernie. Mine's a little bit older area, like people that have lived here. So.
Okay. And so how many people were there?
187.
Okay. And what were the results?
Our place. We had 13 delegates to give away, and the end results were Bernie got 4. And then Buttigieg, Biden, and Warren all got 3.
Hmm. Biden, okay. Are you sure Klobuchar wasn't in there? Because she seems like she was pretty psyched about it.
I am positive because the first vote, she had 19. You had to have 29 to be viable. There were, I think, 15 Yang people there. A lot of them went over to her. They were trying to get up to 29. They got to 27 and couldn't go any higher, and they were just crestfallen. It was horrible, and so I'd say they kind of spread out. Some went to Pete, some went to Warren. We got a handful with Bernie. We had started out with 43 votes after the first count, and I think we ended with 57.
Wow!
So
well, interesting. Well, appreciate the call. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah, thanks. Love the show. Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. You know, I will say this about Klobuchar. Now, I'm not listening to the speech, and I'm not going to pretend like I think I'm missing much here. And if you do, then, you know, by all means, please. But this is very smart.
First one.
Very smart, because, A, there's not going to be any more people watching after this.
That's right.
Right? Like, you're only going to get diminishing returns if you give a speech. There are a lot of people going to go to bed tonight. Mm-hmm. Who are going to listen to Amy Klobuchar. There's not going to be a single result that is announced except for what you've heard on this program. And they're going to go to bed think Klobuchar had a great night.
Yep.
I mean, this is very smart.
Right.
And, you know, like, this is a Joe Biden failure.
Absolutely.
That Klobuchar is here. I mean, you got to hand it to her. This is smart politics. And, you know, to come out and make like she actually had a victory here because...
So what's stopping I have my own opinion about this, but what is stopping Bernie from coming out right now and saying, all right, I want it. We don't know by how much, but I want it. So let's move on.
I mean,
I think he has a responsibility of actually being in. It could come down to him being in first or second place.
That's right.
And so I think when you can come in fifth or fourth or fifth, I think you have less of a responsibility to see the results to actually speak out. So Amy mm-hmm. Klobuchar is just going on the sheer virtue of she survived. Bernie has to really see, is he going to come in first or second before he really speaks out in victory?
Because they're going to, no matter what they do, they're going to criticize him for prematurely, you
exactly.
know, even though Hillary
exactly.
called
and
it
and she's going to get it
early
and she's going to get a participation award. Right. That's what she essentially yeah. took home tonight.
I mean, I think, look, this is good politics. It's going to help with the spin. But I think, again, Sanders, at the end of the day, walking away from this, Joe Biden is not viable. Period. Yes. End of the story. I mean, I'm not convinced, frankly, blank. If I'm Sanders, that I got a problem mm-hmm. with Amy Klobuchar being elevated mm-hmm. because she is going to be cutting into, as we've seen tonight, Warren. She's going to be cutting into Buttigieg. Mm-hmm. She may sop mm-hmm. up some of the Biden, but it doesn't really matter because the question then becomes, relative to the rest of the field, who is considered most electable? Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's the thing. Sanders' support will not shrink. It
right.
only it only goes in two ways, either stand still or get bigger.
Right. Yep.
It is just
right.
not going to get smaller. They are, right. and, you know, like, and so if I'm Sanders right yeah. now, if I'm the campaign, all I want is I'm happy to have a couple of more like medium size to small fish. Enter into the pool as long as the big one we just lost.
Although Warren yeah. might be at a point, if she does well enough tonight and in New Hampshire, she could have the same issue. And then you're at a stalemate.
Warren no? could have the same issue.
Well, she,
I mean, that's a race.
Go ahead.
I think that's a race that we'd be willing to see, right? I think any of us will be willing to see a debate between between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. But this is where, like, the organization, like Ryan Grimm was saying, that it was a free for all after the first round. Mm. You know, if people had really thought about, if these people really wanted to stop Bernie Sanders, they would have gone to Biden. And it seems like because of the free-for-all, they went everywhere else but to Joe Biden, which is great for Bernie Sanders, right? Amy Klobuchar is not a threat in the long run. I don't care how many jokes she tells. Pete Buttigieg is not a threat in the long run. The real threat in the long run, obviously, was Joe Biden. And because of the caucus structure, I would think that they would have been organized enough for the second round just out of quote-unquote strategery. But as Ryan Grimm said, it was a free-for-all. And in that case, you know, some second- and third-tier candidates are rising to the top, and we can handle them past New Hampshire.
I think Klobuchar, the more she plays into the race, like we were talking earlier, are they going to coalesce around Warren? I don't think that they're going to do that. I think they're going to desperately try and find somebody else. And so if some of that energy goes to Klobuchar, mm-hmm. I think what Klobuchar does, Klobuchar is not taking any votes away from Bernie Sanders.
No,
I don't think.
Exactly.
I don't think. I mean, maybe some, but you know, like not in any real big numbers.
No.
And so I think what you're going to see is Klobuchar is going to cut in to Buttigieg and to Warren. And
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just okay. So we have New Hampshire. Let's say let's get to South Carolina. Okay, that's and then into Nevada. Biden's out. Warren's doing decently well. She's taking second in all three of the first states. I have no idea what's
South
gonna
Carolina.
Not knowing South Carolina. I don't know what. Well, maybe. I mean, if Biden.
Steyer.
Oh, right. Of course, Steyer. The other one.
So, but I don't think Steyer can actually compete with Bernie Sanders. See, Steyer can pull away from Biden in South Carolina. But I don't think Steyer can pull away from Bernie Sanders.
We're talking about in terms of Warren. Who's going to come in second South Carolina? That could easily be Steyer.
Okay.
So say Warren does second New Hampshire, Iowa, not South Carolina, second in Nevada. And then you go into Super Tuesday and Warren does second in Texas. What else do we have? Second in California, maybe even first. You got a real issue here. I don't see Klobuchar going that far, even if she's picking up other support. Same thing with Pete. I don't know. I think Warren will take Biden that light up. Support. And who knows? Biden might drop out. I don't know.
Well, we don't know. But
Biden is speaking right now.
Oh, he is?
Is he?
But he's not on screen.
Holy crap. Here's Biden.
47 people.
That's what we just said.
And after all the second alignments and all the math, it ended Who's up that? With Sanders.
Is that you?
It's Warren with two delegates and Buttigieg with two delegates.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's calling into Biden's.
Even
okay.
Sanders had more than double the number of people after the first alignment than Pete Buttigieg.
Doing what we're doing.
They ended up
Look at they're doing what we're doing. We were on top of this a long time ago.
That's what happens when you hire hacks.
Where Joe Biden is starting his remarks.
You all our supporters and all those incredible people who hold public office in this state that endorsed us and all the endorsers from all across the country, my colleagues in the Senate and the House and from the vice presidency, all of you and all the people from Delaware, California, all the people came from all over to campaign here. I want to tell you. And most of all, I want to thank the Iowans that are here. Well, the Iowa Democratic Party is working to get this result, get them straight. And I want to make sure they're very careful
with
the deliberations. And indications are, from our indications, it's going to be close. We're going to walk out of here with our share of delegates. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but we feel good about where we are. And look, so it's on to New Hampshire. Nevada, South Carolina, and well beyond. We're in this for the long haul.
I don't buy it.
Not just tonight, but throughout this campaign. This isn't this. Thank you.
Why?
Oh my God.
This isn't just another election. This is well beyond our party. This is about ending an era of ending an era, God willing, of. Of a president who
Look, this is bigger than any of us. It really is. We cannot.
Oh boy.
We cannot allow Donald Trump to be reelected to the United States presidency again.
Forget the script, Joe. Just.
I'm ready to give him a new nickname. Oh, the former President Trump, Chris. The former President Trump. Right, and folks, as I said, it's bigger than any candidate, bigger than any party. And folks, you know, I said from the outset, Jill and I both said, we're in a battle for the soul of the nation. And that's not hyperbole. We really believe that. And I think it's been demonstrated every single hour he remains as President of the United States. Folks, each and every one of us knows that deep in our bones that everything this nation stands for is at stake. And I really mean it. Four more years of Donald Trump will fundamentally alter the character of this nation. And character is on the ballot. That's what this is.
Right. So let's go with the guy who has a lot of questions surrounding him, whether legit or not, in terms of his integrity.
I say our view because you've been doing as hard as I have. Folks.
Man, this guy says folks more than I do.
I love her too, man. Well, I tell you what.
Folks.
The other reason we're running and we're going to make sure it happens is we've got to rebuild the backbone of this country. The working class, the middle class, they've been getting laid out badly by this administration.
Working class.
The middle class is being hurt very badly. But look,
he's
you know
fixed
what?
It now.
We have to unify this country as well. Everybody understands that CEOs and Wall Street bankers didn't build America. Ordinary, hardworking people led by
my donors didn't build America.
Wow.
This is a concession speech.
Huh?
And folks.
Folks.
We need a president who's not only ready to fight, but is also ready to heal this country. We can't hold grudges. We've got to be able to go out and unify the country.
Turn the page.
Because the president is supposed to heal as well as fight. And that's exactly what I plan on doing, we plan on doing, all of us in this hall plan on doing. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm going to go all over this country, every part of the Democratic Party, and reunite it. Men, women, gay, straight, everyone, black, brown, a whole universe of people out there. Because, folks...
I hear some saying, folks,
there's nothing we've ever failed at when we've tried to do it together. Nothing America's ever failed at.
Well, I mean,
so, ladies and gentlemen,
dubious.
All my friends, and by the way, I want to say a special thanks again to Alice
stopping
Shaper
Donald
firefighters.
Trump.
You've been incredible to us. You've been incredible.
Apparently, Bernie is on.
Is Bernie on?
I have his Periscope. It doesn't look like he's on yet. Thing.
Everybody knows who Donald Trump is.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's fortunate they do know now. They didn't know last time, I don't think. But they know now. And, folks, we got to let them know who we are. We choose hope over fear. We choose science over fiction. Unity over division. And compassion over cruelty. And maybe most importantly of all... truth over lies. Folks.
Boom. Folks.
We're going to do this. I promise you.
Who here likes oxygen?
Done.
Anybody?
God
who likes to breathe
God
air?
We'll do it together. May God bless you all.
Hold well.
God protect our troops.
Anybody here from Iowa? Come on, folks.
He's endorsing Bernie. He's going to endorse Bernie.
You think he's going to endorse Bernie?
That's my money. I think he's going to endorse Bernie. He knows it's over. You can see it in his eyes. It's over for him. He knows it. But not immediately. Give him to South Carolina, but he's going to endorse Bernie.
No.
You know, I got to say, I have not seen that many speeches from look at this. So Warren is speaking right now.
Yep.
And who's...
Pete.
Why aren't they going to Warren?
Pete's one...
on MSNBC. She's speaking. Why aren't they going to her?
We That's found inconsistencies in the reporting of three sets of results.
Remember,
the
three sets
you've got to be effing mother effing kidding.
Yeah, this is what they're saying.
Tonight. The initial
Thanks,
allocation,
Robbie and
the reallocation after people moved around when some candidates weren't viable, and the delegate count. We found inconsistencies
you know, I'll
in
tell
the
you something.
Of three sets of results. In addition to the tech systems being used to tabulate results,
I will tell you something.
Also using photos of results
and a paper never have has anyone been more validated than you have been validated tonight when you talk about how corrupt and corrupt maybe gets incompetent and corrupt in the sense that like it's just there's just it's self-dealing that's going on where you're hiring consultants and they're all in this sort of hermetically sealed bubble where they keep looking around and it's you know it's like it's basically a circle jerk where everybody's looking around going like, if you got me covered, I got you covered on this. I don't want to get too explicit, but I think everybody gets what I'm saying here. And that's what and that's how you get the guy who lost the election based upon their flawed digital modeling and data in charge of this this crap show.
And last time around, just in case people are curious, they phoned it in. They had people, real human beings, calling in the results, thousands and thousands. And, you know, yes, it's a structural nightmare, but at the end of the day, it's like paper ballots.
How much money did Robbie Mook make on this?
A lot.
Harvard's Belfer Center was involved as well. So,
how much money? I want to know.
Well, also, I'm sorry, can we just go back to the original point of who decides who gets these contracts? At the end of the day, and I want to say this to the audience, because if there's now a time more than ever where we can voice frustration, Tom Perez is signing these checks and there's no oversight. There's no accountability. There's no vote on it. He has control of the budget. And the executive committee, I mean, I know I'm all process, but this is how stuff like that happens.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in most corporations. You have oversight.
All right, so now we have a little programmatic dilemma, everybody here. we have 4 minutes on the YouTube thing, and I have 20 minutes before I'm supposed to get into a car and go uptown. So 4 minutes on the YouTube, I think now would be a good moment to just... can we pause? Can we disconnect to the YouTube? Can we keep the stream going and then rehook up? Or what has to happen?
Do a new stream.
Well, can't we do another stream on YouTube?
We could. What we could do is just record a new recording and then just upload this for YouTube tomorrow. Or if you want to stream and.
But if we go any further, we're going to lose the YouTube. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what is that? Is that your phone?
It's the Bernie rally, I think. Sorry.
Well, at the very least, we got to cut the YouTube stream, which is a shame because we got about 16,000 people, 17,000. No, we will lose it if we, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just stop it and restart it. Can we just do that?
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're gonna stop and we'll be back in how long do you think it'll take? 3 minutes? 3 minutes. Bear with us, folks. We'll be right back. Appreciate it. Don't forget, subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to our channel and become a member, but we'll be right back in a minute. I'm gonna change it to some other
things. To get to where I want. But I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. I guess somewhere the choice was made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright.
terms of the Iowa Democratic Party's ambition versus their capability here, I mean, presumably, I mean, both of you guys know this from different sides of it as a national party chairman and as somebody who was running one of these campaigns.